You're listening to WYLL. I'm Chris Berube. Yesterday, the 15th annual Roger Ebert Film Festival kicked off in Champaign. It's kind of a melancholy event this year, and it started with tributes to Ebert from his wife and organizers of the festival. One of the people who spoke was the 91-year-old cinematographer Haskell Wexler.
What Roger stood for was what we all want to stand for our art and our expression. It was for understanding humanity, for life, for appreciation, for all the good things that are there.
Thank you.
Wexler is widely seen as one of the greatest cinematographers of all time. He filmed some of my favorite movies, like The Conversation, and he also won Academy Awards for Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf and Bound for Glory, the biopic of Woody Guthrie. He came to Champaign to introduce the movie Days of Heaven, which was actually a bit controversial for him when it opened. The Terrence Malick picture actually started filming with a different cinematographer, Nestor Almendros, but he had to leave the film because the shooting schedule was running way over time. Wexler, who had already been an Oscar winner, was brought in to finish the picture, and at the time, he wasn't given any credit. Wexler actually wrote a letter to Roger Ebert when the movie came out, saying that he had sat in the movie theater with a stopwatch, trying to figure out how much of the movie was his. In the end, it was about half. Wexler introduced the movie and did a Q&A. Earlier in the afternoon, however, I met him at his hotel room.
Okay. Hello, I'm Haskell Wexler in Champaign, Illinois.
What was your relationship with Roger Ebert?
I've known and loved Roger Ebert from, I guess, the week after he came up from Illini. And of course, I was active in films, and we talked a lot. And many times, Studs Terkel and I would do things with Roger Ebert.
I guess the question is, what kind of stuff did you guys do together, you and Studs Terkel and Roger Ebert?
We'd both. Yeah, I mean, as far as doing together, we would go for various good causes in Chicago and go and be together with various good causes in Chicago and put our 2 cents in because we had certain visibility.
So the three of you would kind of get together and say, you know what, Chicago needs this. We can work together to make this happen.
Absolutely correct. Helping with Columbia College and to build Chicago filmmaking ability. And also, Roger encouraged those theaters in Chicago which showed foreign films and films that usually were not Hollywood-type things. I think the fact that Roger, he did have a wide view of the kind of films that he was interested in, and he wanted other people to be interested in. I think that was a good thing, and I think the fact that he was in the Midwest and not at either coast sort of helped that. Even though his writing is not coastal in any way, his thought and his philosophy, I think, was embedded here.
So you're here today to introduce Days of Heaven at the Roger Ebert Film Festival.
Yes, I am.
I've heard so many different stories about what happened, I guess, in terms of Days of Heaven, in terms of your involvement, that the previous cinematographer moved to a Truffaut film. So what happened exactly?
Well, Nestor Almendros was the photographer and a good friend of mine on Days of Heaven, and he had to go to a Truffaut film. They were very far behind on their schedule, and Truffaut film was started promptly, so he had to leave. And so I saw Nestor's footage, and then I came up and made up for lost time. At least according to Terry and most of the people who know the film, that it was a good thing that it happened.
Well, it's funny because that movie, it's so beautiful and so many people praise it for how it looks. It seems impossible to me that two people would have shot, you know, independently shot different halves of it.
Basically, as far as the look of the film is Terry Malick's and by Nestor and continued by me.
I mean, I've heard that sort of there was a bit of, not necessarily controversy, but there was after the fact that you were not pleased that you were not necessarily given credit on the film for the work that you had done.
The producer Bert Schneider was a friend of mine, and when I saw how much of the film was my shooting, I wanted to have co-credit with Nestor. And then Nestor and Bert Schneider and I talked about it, and actually Bert Schneider said, look, you already had Academy Awards, Nestor hasn't. And also because the way they had it, the Academy would not give a dual credit. And so for actually a couple of weeks, I was pissed.
I heard the story that apparently you sat in a theater with a stopwatch and you like watched the movie and you timed how much of it was you and how much of it was
Nestor. It was only when I saw the film that I had realized that. But strangely enough, it was not just certain big sections of the film, but what I was able to do is intercut scenes that were part of what Nestor did and do a pretty good matching job. So although I'm pleased with my work, the controversy of how much Nestor did or I did, I think it's not of really any consequence. I think it's a beautiful looking film, and basically it's Terry Malick's film.
You're listening to an interview with Haskell Wexler, the cinematographer behind some of the most famous movies ever, like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest and In the Heat of the Night. Wexler also directed a feature film called Medium Cool, which was largely shot clandestinely at the protests outside of the 1968 Democratic National Convention. The film was seen as innovative for its use of cinema verite-style camera work and its depiction of the 60s protest movement. Here's a clip from the trailer.
How does it feel to stop feeling? You may discover violence at a time when an entire country learns to feel nothing.
America's wonderful. The dynamics that are happening in society. We don't deal with the static things. We deal with the things that are happening. We deal with the violence.
Five cameramen have been killed. One guy in Germany, he was beat to death by a mob. Just literally stoned, beat to death for UPI. The cop thought he was taking pictures for the police. Wherever I go, I'm beat up.
So when you were filming Medium Cool, I mean, you'd been established as a cinematographer who took just, you know, could play with light so well and took gorgeous shots. And then you made this movie, which was shot kind of cinema, a lot of people say it's cinema verite, like you shot on location at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago. What was that like, just sort of filming on location at that particular time?
Well, strangely enough, the film was totally scripted and registered with the Writers Guild before we start shooting.
And so, like, you had a script and you just shoot, you were like, but we're going to show up and just film it and no one's going to know we're here.
I knew if the Democratic Party ignored the anti-war movement, I also knew that the anti-war people, what the media would call the hippies, were going to protest. And so I knew that that background would have electricity going in the city, and then I wrote a story that takes place during that time. And I did know that the police were preparing for disturbances in Chicago, and they had a book of how to deal nonviolently with them. And one of the book's statements is a gas which caused people to lose control of their bowels. And they were going to shoot that at the protesters. But there was an asterisk in this book that they gave to the police department. And it said, but be careful about its directional capabilities. So in my original script, I had a funny scene where cops would shoot this gas and defecate it in their pants. Yeah. But no, I mean, people always speak of it as a documentary. If you look at it, believe it or not, it was shot documentary style because that's what I thought fit the scene.
So what? Yeah. So you were filming Occupy. Did you? So you felt like it was kind of the same spirit, the Occupy protests and the anti-war protests.
The way the media treated the Occupy and NATO was pretty much the way the media treated or didn't treat the anti-war movement in 68. They liked wherever violence that they could show, and because it makes a story, but never, ever discussing what are the issues involved. The same thing that was involved just a few months ago in Chicago, when nurses, teachers, doctors, regular workers, students were in Chicago protesting a war-making machine where NATO, where Obama addressed them, and saying that taking money and everything from the people in so-called austerity is not what America's all about. But you wouldn't see that on TV. It was not even covered in the rest of the country, the size of thousands of people that were in Chicago.
I would feel remiss if I didn't ask you about one of my favorite movies ever, which is The Conversation, which you filmed. And that movie has so many of these wonderful disorienting shots where you see a person, then you hear kind of this alien sound of them being recorded, of their voice being wiretapped. How did you work out the sound? Was that all done after the fact, or was that something you were working on while the film was being made?
Well, on The Conversation, I had one of the first briefcase telephones. This is before cell phones.
So you had one of the first portable telephones?
Yeah, it was in a briefcase, and I would I would also hear other people's, because there weren't very many of other people's phone calls. And I remember I told Francis about one of them. So I recorded some of that stuff. So Francis had that, those, some of those phone calls. And he used part of them in The Conversation.
So he actually used some of your recordings of the other phone calls?
I'm not positive whether he used the actual recording.
You are one of the most influential people who's shot movies ever, basically. Have you dealt with the new digital technology in terms of shooting films? And do you have any feelings about the coming of kind of digital film as a way to shoot movies?
Oh, I shoot digital.
You shoot digital now?
Oh, yes, yeah. Of course. Mostly, of course, on documentaries, it allows you to do things that you couldn't do normally with film. It's just another way of another way of presenting images. The whole fascination with technology in general is overstated and overblown. I do think that digital, the look of digital for my own taste, tends to be harsher than film, and not so pleasing, although they're making changes. And there are also new filtration, trying to make it less sharp, more filmic, experimentation with many frames a second. Also, I've shot IMAX before. I've shot 3 IMAX pictures. I did one with the Rolling Stones. I did one, the arrival of the first shuttle, and then got a lot of publicity about it. And because my shot just happened to be one of the better ones, it's that incident, that shot with digital, Panavision's digital camera. So, and that was quite exciting. The camera guys met a couple of weeks later, and it was good spirits.
Thank you so much for taking all this time. I really appreciate it.
Okay, I thank you for arranging this difficult interview.
Not at all, thank you.
That's Haskell Wexler. To see all of our coverage of EbertFest 2013, visit us online at wyll.illinois.edu. I'm Chris Berube.